teacher. I'm going to pass out these papers. He printed up for me to print off this morning.
Amen.
Amen, Brother.
All right. Amen. Good to be here.
Amen.
It's good to see familiar faces and new faces. Amen. Got a lovely church, a lovely pastor. We had a wonderful coming in. We came down from up north and a lot of traffic, but all of it brought me right here. So I want to thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen.
Well, preachers asked me to deal with probably my favorite passage or place in the Bible is Exodus 25. And that deals with the tabernacle. And I teach on it all the time. Everybody around wants to teach on it. Let me give a couple of things. He's going to hand out a paper there that gives you the typology. Let me make you understand typology. If some of you don't, just about everybody usually does. Typology is something that represents another thing. For instance, one represents God. You'll see all that in that paper. But here's a better illustration. What about leprosy? We know that leprosy is a real disease, but for you and I, leprosy means sin. So there's typology is a great pass, a great class of study in the Word of God. If you'll just remember that there's types all through it. And in the 25th chapter of Exodus, God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, my wife's gone out to the car to bring us a picture of it, and I'll give that to your preacher when it's over with. And you can see with your eyes what is described in the Bible. From Exodus 25 through Exodus 40, you have this described three times, with the exception of when they made the golden calves. Just let me have that. So run back there and get that picture for me, honey. Would you do that? It's right there with my wife. He'll get it. Okay. And if you kind of work that a little bit, where it'll open up, you can see that picture. I want you to see it. When you go into Exodus 25, you're going to see this thing described. It begins at the first. Is there some way of rolling that backward over a pew or something, so you can see it? And you will keep it in mind. This is exactly what is drawn when you read that. I mean, it's almost exactly you wouldn't even know the exceptions to that. You can put it down. And we might look at it again, I don't know, somewhere. But the whole idea is that God had Israel to, Moses to build a tabernacle. If you look at chapter 25, the Bible said in verse number 1, Exodus, "The Lord spake to Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." So now we want to understand that everything done in this tabernacle, I don't think I'm going to try to cram everything in here in 40 minutes. Let me say this. Christians fail all the time. They're quitting all the time. Right. Churches are just falling apart. We get familiarity breeds contempt and people just quit. But I heard a great preacher preach one time. I guess he's a great preacher. He preached on why do Christians fail. And I never forgot that message. Dr. Tom Wallace had him in his church, and he gave me a tape of that, and I listened to it. It impressed me to study why do Christians fail. And I believe the reason why we fail is because we don't realize that the journey to God is a continuous a string of beads that you just come to a glory and you get to experience a glory with God. And I believe in experience. I don't believe there's any cut and dried, read the verse and claim the verse, name it and claim it, don't work. God has to give you that promise.
Amen.
When God gives you that promise will work in your life.
Yeah.
And I know there are people that say, well, there's so many promises you can claim. You cannot claim salvation until God offers you salvation.
Right. Right.
And it goes on and on and on. There's just tons of, all the promises are yea and amen. And amen in Jesus Christ, but he has to, when he brings that promise to you, it will be yours.
Yes, yes.
So you understand today that we're having a dilemma, and perhaps if I ever come here and preach again, I've preached at a lot of churches. It's almost without exception that the same faces, some of those faces will never be back.
Right.
And I go maybe on a yearly basis. And I could fill a church. I preached in West Virginia. I preached there for 25 years in that church. Every year, twice sometimes, or most of the time. And I could fill a church with the people that left that church.
Yeah.
And they go somewhere else and then they fall out. They drop out because changing churches don't do what you need done. And changing preachers doesn't do what you need done. And changing environments doesn't need what you need done. You need an internal deal going on inside of you between you and God. And if you have that, if you understand this tabernacle, you'll understand that God has like a necklace of glories that just come one after another if you just keep going after God. Does that make sense to you? And when we look at the tabernacle, when he described the tabernacle, this is the only object that God had built or done when he just kept saying, you make it according to the pattern.
Amen.
You look at everything else when he does offerings, he doesn't say, do this according to the pattern. He does tell them how to do it, but he doesn't just keep saying, do this according to the pattern, and just real hard about that. God wants it done according to pattern. The reason why is because it tells so many truths that if you violate the pattern, you violate the truth. For instance, when Moses was told to strike the rock, he struck the rock, water came out. The next time he was supposed to speak to that rock, he struck that rock. Now, the Bible said that he didn't give God glory, and so God somehow or another, Moses made a statement when he struck that rock that violated the type. Christ is the rock that followed them, Corinthians, through the wilderness. So we know that rock is a type of Christ. He struck it once. It should have never been struck twice. Christ will never go back to Calvary. It's all over. That suffering is over. And so he broke that type, and because of that one move, Moses wasn't allowed to go into Canaan land. And he asked him, and he said, don't ask me about this anymore. You're not going in. Now Moses has learned that he should never broke that type. For instance, there are people, there are a lot of types. And you've got to pray about it. You've got to read the Bible. Make sure you don't break a type. When God tells you to do something, if you'll do it the way he said, don't break the type. He'll bless you with it. And there's a lot of those things. So now we have the tabernacle drawn to us. And we get the idea that it's a piece of furniture that existed 3,500 years ago. But that's not true. He gave you a picture, and then that picture expresses a pilgrimage, and you are in that picture, and you can find yourself in there. You can find where you are and find out why you are having the problems in your life you're having and what's going on in your life. You just locate yourself in that picture and know where you are as it relates to God. And there can come a day in your life when you can say, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've finished the pilgrimage. Now, the only next step for me is to go to glory, where it will take God eons to show me what he gave me when he died for me.
Amen.
I constantly study about the cross. And when you say the cross, you're not just talking about a piece of wood and a man on it.
Right.
You're talking about a horrible passion. And listen to me, God went through that passion.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't just a man went through that. I mean, I'm talking about God went through that passion.
Yeah.
And the Bible said, when I was telling Brother Joel, pastor, yesterday, it just has come to me that when John was in the Isle of Patmos, I guess I'm on or no. Is everything okay? Okay. When John was in that Isle of Patmos, and in the fifth chapter of Revelation, he was shown the lamb as it had been slain. Now you go look that all up. That lamb has done been slain.
Right.
But he's still carrying the marks of his sacrifice.
Right. Yeah.
You can read anybody's writings on that. When I say you read these commentaries, you don't want to take liberals that don't believe in things. You want to read the men that studied and they know what that words are saying. Now here's what it says. That's telling you that Jesus to this day has the marks of the sacrifice of Calvary still on him.
Yes.
He said, reach hither thy hand. fill my places here.
Yes.
So they're all there, and they're not grown over. They're not healed over. I've cut a finger off. It's all healed over. No, that's not healed over.
Right.
Now, what's it going to be like? I don't know how it's going to be, preacher. But what's it going to be like if you see a man? It said he was marred beyond description of a man in Isaiah. And I wonder what he's going to look like when you get to heaven.
Right.
Are you going to see a man that's distraught in his bodily image, just crippled up and beat and whipped and marked, who comes to you and says, "I'm wearing this so you won't have to"?
Huh.
Would that make you love him more? It would me.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Surely he's not going to look like that. But he's gone to have those marks of that cross on him.
Right.
And I don't know how far that goes. I'll tell you what he did. I don't know if Calvary, when we mention Calvary, we talk about a man sitting on a hill on a donkey, looking over Jerusalem with tears tracing down his dusty cheek, crying, "How often I would have gathered you."
Yes.
Tears and broke, "How often I would have gathered you."
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
This man, listen, our Lord went through the mill for us.
Right. Yes, he did.
And I don't know, and understand that if you'll find where you are in this tabernacle, you'll understand that this passion of God, I told your pastor yesterday, I begin to understand the love of God. John said, "Behold, what manner I," he said, "I don't understand the love that does this." And I don't either. But I began to see that it's a lot more severe than you and I think it is. When we say Jesus died, D-I-E-D describes a horrible situation in the Godhead as well as in the community.
Amen.
And I don't believe for a minute God was chuckling while Jesus was dying. The Bible said he looked and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And if you want to know what the word study is, it's just like that fellow right there and take that little baby and put it in the hands of a child molester while that little guy's hollering, "Daddy, Daddy," and walk away and let that fellow do anything that kid he wants to do, because that's what we did to Jesus.
Right.
And the father walked away.
Yes.
Left him in the hands of a cruel people.
Amen.
That's right.
Just because he loved me.
Amen.
I don't understand that love, but glory to God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it turns me up when I think about what God did for me.
Amen.
And then you have another dilemma. Your life trying to be a holy person.
Yes, sir.
John said, "We say we have no sin, receive self, truth's not in it. So we are sinners." I'm trying to get to this thing, man. But listen a minute. We are sinners.
Yes, sir.
And we have the Romans 7. We're struggling with this thing.
Yes, we are.
Here's the difference between you and the guy out on the street that's not struggling with it. He's just doing it.
Yep.
And you're sitting in church this morning and you're looking around at those little things in the closet that you just can't get out of there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that spirit of can't get it out of there is what makes you available to the grace of God.
Amen.
God's grace is available to me when I cry Mayday, but it is not gracious to me when I'm just plowing sin and I don't care.
Yeah.
It's when I care.
Yeah.
And I get a little victory every now and then.
Yeah.
But you know, you ain't never going to get it all. But that wonderful love of God said, "I'm not looking for his success in being sinless. I'm looking for his spirit saying, 'I hate what I am. I hate what I am. I hate what I am. I hate what I am.'"
Amen.
Ain't got nothing to do with the cow in the tabernacle, but it has a whole lot to do with my heart this morning.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So I give you out the papers. I don't think I can come back down to reality. But this picture that he did for you here is a picture for you to get into and enjoy. He didn't make it. He didn't make us for us to mully grub all the time. He gave us grace that we can shout.
Amen.
We can say glory to God. Well, how could you praise God, you old sinner? Because grace took care of my sin. Glory to God. I hate what I am, but I love what He did for me. I like what He did for me. I'm telling you, buddy, if we could ever get a hold of that, it'd be a better day for all of us. So the picture is not just just some kind of masterpiece. When I got my picture, it's about as big as the top of that table right there. A doctor gave it to my wife. Well, he gave it to me, but my wife was sick in Elizabethtown, Kentucky over there. And she went to one of my friends. Those doctors treated me for nothing. They were great men. And she was sitting in the waiting room and saw that picture. It's way bigger than that one. And she told the doctor, she said, my husband just preached on that. What I had to do when I started, I'd draw it on an overhead projector for a fella. And this whole church went on the altar. It's about this size right here. Everybody went on the altar. They was crying and hollering. I couldn't hardly preach. And she saw that, and then she saw the picture. But I'm not an artist, but oh, if I were, that's what I'd draw. And so she told him, he gave me the picture. He got it in Pennsylvania. I put him back in my car with the full intentions of carrying it to a wooded place where I could be alone. Put the picture down, get on my knees and worship the picture. I was so moved by it. I just barely tasted what that picture's about then. I know much more about it now. I wish you'd get to catch the sight of this. If it do that, I'm going to tell you, you need no help, buddy. You'll seek God on your own. You'll just go after God like a dog goes after a rabbit, buddy.
Yeah.
When I saw it, and I was going to take it out and lean it on a tree, and I was going to worship, and I say, well, you know, thou shalt not worship them, make any graven image. That's about what that'd be. And the Holy Ghost said, it's just a pattern. He hid me off. He stopped me before I got there. He said, it's only a pattern. I made my wife a dress one time. Way back, I've just been married a couple of years, and come Christmas or Easter, I think it was Easter, I got a pattern. I didn't have no money. I bought her a little blue dress material and a pattern and a sewing machine, and I had an electric motor. It's one of them old help-yourself, and they'd put a motor on it. I bought all that, thread, everything, made her a dress. And when I realized the pattern, the very first thing come to my mind was, if you had sewed that little old thin piece of paper together and made her a dress out of it, she'd tore it before she got it on. It wouldn't have been any good. Pattern's no good. It's what you get out of the pattern.
Yeah.
So I made her a dress, and she still got that dress in Cedar Chest at home. That's 50 years ago. You understand why I'm saying to you, this is just a pattern, but is it not a beautiful pattern?
Amen.
Is it not beautiful? Those colors, are they not beautiful?
Amen, brother.
The glory coming up off of that thing, and it's all a type. It's a beautiful type.
Yes, yes.
And so you have it described here. You got a little paper there. You can look at it. You can see all the types, and that's for another time if you want to look at it sometime or another. I guess I want to say it's for another time. Just whenever you're reading the Bible, like for instance, the other day we come across Jesus told him to put the net on the other side, pull out 153 fish. 153 fish.
Yes, sir.
Are you to think God did that for... I mean, He had a purpose for that.
Sure.
And what about this? Here, somebody preached on that fig tree the other day. Jesus talked about that fig tree. And he talked about the fig tree. That's what Adam and Eve sewed together to hide from God with.
Right.
Fig tree. Yeah. Fig trees mention a whole lot in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a type in there. I don't know what that type is, but see, there's a type in there.
Yeah.
And it just goes all through the Bible. It's just those soils.
Yeah.
Those four soils are types. I've been to church with all four kinds of soil. Sometimes it was hard.
Yep.
The devil just took it right away. Sometimes I had other things on my mind and couldn't ever get no root. And sometimes I just aggravated by everything and couldn't bear no fruit. And
yeah.
Other times I come with good mood and fruit came. Amen. So you come, and it ain't just one man, and he's that kind, and this guy's that kind. All of us are that
same.
Those types, you know, they're all in there. So when you read in the Bible and you see a consistency done, you better look. God's trying to say something that's not said. It's just beyond what's said. So you can look at your little paper there. You can see that wood is a type of humanity. Wood rots. It's not something just like the wicks that we're not going to get to it, but the wicks and the candlestick in that, inside that tabernacle. The wicks are made out of, they didn't have fibers like we do now. They're made out of wood. It was some kind of wood type material. They wove a wick and put it down in that candlestick. Like when you, some of you old enough to remember we had them kerosene lamps. That's what we had in my home. And we got electricity. I remember we got electricity. My mother, as long as she lived, we had one. She called it a billy greaser. Called a billy greaser lamp. And we couldn't get enough light, we'd turn it up and then to smoke a chimney. And she'd get on us and fix it, you know what I mean. So that's the same thing in that seven-branch candlestick. Little old wick stuck down in that oil. And that oil fed up through it. If you burn it without the oil, how long does it last? About as long as it takes to light the thing. But if that oil's in it, it glows and glows and glows. But it does finally get consumed. And for many years, I said, Lord, what is that? There's seven branches, and there's a human in that somewhere. There's the gold, the divine gold. It's on there. It's pure gold. It's got oil in all them little seven ends. But there's one thing in there that's not God. Oil's Holy Spirit, that's God. That's that little piece of wick in there is not God. It's a man. It's a human.
Right.
And I didn't get on this till about a month or two ago. The snuffer, it never does say wicks. Never. But it talks about snuffer dishes. A snuffer dish was a little box. They took a set of tongs and when that little wick had just burned itself out. You know anybody burned herself out trying to give you light? Yeah. Remember some old preachers that's gone now?
Yeah.
God comes along with that tongue and takes it out and puts it in that snuffer dish. Keeps it.
Amen.
You know, don't throw it out in the garbage pit. Keep it. So you got some of those wicks back in your life, don't you? Yeah. While you're trying to find God, they were burning with holy God on them.
Amen. Yeah.
Now they're burned out. They're gone. But there'll be another one. He'll put another one in there. That's what he does. That new puts a new one. He'll call a new man. Put it in there.
Yeah.
Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
Wood. Wood's a type of flesh and humanity. And brass is a type of the judgment of God on sin. And it calls that linen fine twined linen. I don't have it on there. But it's the finest linen made in the world. It's made in Egypt. The very best linen in the world. Was made in Egypt. And it's white. And Revelation talks about it in 19:7. You can see it on your paper. That's the righteousness of the saints. It's not your righteousness. It's His righteousness.
That's right.
And then there's silver. And you can read the references there. Silver is a type of God. You get redeemed. I mean redemption. It's a type of redemption. You get redeemed. The Lord made a way to redeem you.
Right.
So you had to be redeemed.
Right.
I used to say, well, there's three ways to go to heaven. One of them was to die before you're old enough. One way is to keep all the commandments and live a perfect life. And the other one is to get saved by grace.
Right.
But I found out that if you don't get saved by grace, even if you lived a perfect life, you're still dead. You'd have to be resurrected.
Amen.
There's two things that has to happen to get saved. You get your sins forgiven. That's one I'd have to have. And then you get resurrection from death to life.
Amen.
The whole world died. The whole world lies in death. And they have to be resurrected from death into life.
Yes.
So the baby, the little baby, the grace of God has supplied that little baby with both of those. But as soon as that baby's accountable, the Garden of Eden chops him off. And now he's going to have to be born again.
Yes.
So you have silver as a type of redemption. And you have to be redeemed. And gold is a type of deity or God. And then there's the colors. White is perfection. And then all the colors come in this way they come in. Blue, scarlet, purple, and white. Every time they're mentioned. Blue, purple, purple, scarlet, and white. Now listen, blue, I don't understand this, but blue and scarlet make purple.
Yeah.
I don't understand it now. But I know those colors put that way every time. Blue, purple, scarlet, white. Every time. But anyway, I put them down white. White's perfection. It's Luke and it's the Son of Man. And do you see them notes I got on there?
Yeah.
This type goes all through the Bible. The four faces of the cherub are the four Gospels, the four colors. The cherub and the seraph both have them four faces. And those four faces like the four Gospels. And they are, too. You can't deny it. In Matthew, Jesus is the king. He's royal. Purple. In Mark, he suffers. He's red. Blood is scarlet. In Luke, he's white. He's perfect, sinless Son of Man. And in John, he's the heavenly Christ, the color of the sky. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And it's on a cherub and a seraph. And a seraphim's got six wings, and a cherubim's got four wings. And a cherubim was at the Garden of Eden, but the seraphim's at the throne of God. And that's right.
Yes.
Isaiah saw them, had six wings.
Right.
But the guy at the Garden of Eden had four wings. And the fellow that's on top of that Ark of the Covenant's got four wings. That's a cherubim. And they're guardians of holiness. That says it down there.
Yes.
And it's apparent that the seraphim stands on God's side and guards him against unholiness coming that way. He stands on this side, guarding us against getting in his presence without holiness.
Amen.
I'm assuming that's the only way you look at it. The only way you look at it. So there they are. And then, so you have the types. And then the cubit is a great thing to think about. It talks about the cubit in the Bible. And it's about 18 inches in every place. But Ezekiel, it's 23, about 24 inches, something in there. Something 23 inches in Ezekiel. It's called a royal cherub. But the cherub God uses in the tabernacle is about 18 inches. It's the length of the distance from the elbow to the tip of your fingers. And it's in some cases, three spans of the hand, depending on how you do it, or two spans of the hand. But here's what the dictionary says about it. Gesenius is the dictionary. That's a Hebrew dictionary. And you know what it says a lot about it. It tells the length of it and everything. And then it says it's the foundation measurement. Everything God does in that Bible is related to a cherub. I mean a cubit. Everything's related to a cubit. And so he calls it the foundation measurement. I know somebody else that's a foundation measurement, don't you?
Yes.
So there's your Lord Jesus right there.
Amen.
That's good, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
He didn't fool around. When he made that thing, he made it just like he wanted it.
Amen.
If you and I'll just get over where it's at, we just taste of honey that we didn't know was there.
Amen.
Amen. There's all your numbers. I didn't give all of them. I just give the ones that apply. And let me say this about the numbers and all these typology. I read lots. I read. I can't hardly stand not to input information, something into my mind, something in. I love it. Think it's the way to do for me. If I'm going to serve the table, I want to be the best cook.
Amen.
Amen. Right? If I want to do the best I can. If I'm going to do the best I can. If you're going to be a bear, you ought to be a grizzly. Don't you think that's right?
Yeah.
That's right. So if I'm going to do something, I want to do it right. So I want to know what the Bible said. I was taught against the King James Bible. Yeah, it's called American Standard Version. Oh, man, this guy's not a King James. Oh, yeah, I'm a King James man.
Yes.
But my peers didn't find out whether they told the truth or not. But I stayed to find out if I was told the truth. I found out they lied to me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right. I used to be pushy salvation, pushy, easy believers, not easy believers. I'm always preaching lordship. But I pushed people to make a decision. You know when you ought to eat apple? It's the best apple to eat is when it's ripe.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right. That make a bit of sense to you?
Yeah, yeah.
You push somebody real hard to get saved, you can say to a little child, when that little guy just gets any age at all, you can say, now don't you think it's time for you to join the church? And he'll think, because that pleases daddy, he'll go down there and then get saved. It's like Wendy Bagwell said, you'll have to do that again.
Yeah.
Amen. Let God do his work on them. Amen. Children. Amen.
Amen.
Let him bring them to himself. Amen. So anyway, what I did was I was trained so wrong and I had to restudy everything. So I read. So what I've done is brought out of all of my readings what you read on that paper there. The numbers. I have a man who wrote on numerology in the 1800s. And then I have a Ed Valore wrote on it. He teaches Revelation. I think he may be still alive. And then I have Bullinger's book on numerology. I want to study what these words mean and these numbers mean. And they get so complicated sometimes, I don't want to fool with them. You could take 153, and there's got to be, you know that 50 is the year of Jubilee. 50 has to, Penta is 50, Pentecost.
Yeah.
It's got to be, 50 has to be freedom, Jubilee, set free. So 153, you know it's going to be the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It can't be nobody else. It has to mean the three persons of the Godhead.
Yes.
Don't it? So we got the 53 part. I don't know if our 100 is right. It says the saints of God assembled. I'm not sure that 100 doesn't represent the explosive grace of God or something in that order, you know, hundreds of. But I'm not an educated man in that area. But that 153 is going to mean something. He didn't just say 153, say, oh, I'll just pick it out of the sky. He put it there for a reason. So there's all your numbers. One is unity. Or you just put a little dot out there, or God. One is God.
Yes.
I'm God. Besides me, there is no other. You stop thinking about this. Every number you know needs a one. But one don't need no help.
Amen.
Yeah. And a lady sew with a sewing machine. When you lose the part of that needle that stands alone, the point of it, then you have to get another needle. He's the one, stands alone.
Amen.
Nobody holds him up.
That's right.
His base, maybe we're a base that he sets, but not that point. He's the point.
Amen.
So it's so much. You can't divide one. One is a whole number. And then division. And one man said this about division. If you had division, one of them will always be stronger than the other. So if you have the devil and God, you have one of them stronger than the other. You know what I mean. And you go right down through there. Three is divine, completeness. Four is creation, grace of God's five. Six is man, 666, all that. Amen. Eight. And don't you like eight? It's a new beginning. Early in the morning, the first day of the week. That's the eighth day of the week is what that is.
Right.
That's the first day of a new week.
Right.
The eighth day of an old week. So there it is. And then you have testimony and law is 10. 10. This is the 10th time he's done this. And you know what I mean? And 12 is governmental perfection. 12 tribes and 12 patriarchs and 12 apostles.
Yes.
And 15 is rest. And that happens to be, well, I'll get to it in a minute. Redemption's 20. 30 is the blood. 50 is Jubilee. And 100 is the saints of God assembled. Now, I know we don't have any time. That's just a few minutes here, just a few minutes. I just want to whet your appetite about it. It's 100 cubits long. That quadrangle is 100 cubits by 50 cubits. And in the middle of it is an altar. Just think about this. You got your little book there. Just think about this. The gate entering it is 20 cubits wide. Look at your bit of paper. And it's all four colors. And you didn't get saved, but you got saved by the gospel. And the gospel's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The life, the death, the burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't get in no other way. Say, if you do, you're thief and robber.
Amen.
Cast out. What's the white linen? That's Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, there it is all the way around. Come over a hill, look down on it, and there's that white linen. Hold it right there. Draws all men. What a picture. You got saved, you got interested in that.
Yes.
Something interested you in that. Whatever it was. And I think it's this. I think it's the people that's involved in that show such a spirit of joy and accomplishment and security and fulfillment that this guy out here don't have. And he said, I don't know what you've got, but I want what you got.
Yeah.
And that's all that compound down there. See, that's why we can't come to church and act like we died yesterday.
Amen.
Act like you died and hadn't figured it out.
Right.
We ought to come to church happy.
Amen.
You're forgiven, buddy. If you're trying to live for God, your sins are under the blood.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, if you're saved by the grace of God, you can't tell what comes through that door right there in reality.
Right.
But if that heart is seeking God, I don't care how big that alligator's tail is, buddy. Grace of God will take care of it.
Amen.
You come in here victory.
Yes.
You're above it, buddy. God has saved you.
Amen.
Your sins are under blood. Right. What sins are you talking about?
Right.
When you say, I fear the judgment seat of Christ. When you step to that judgment, I'm telling you the Bible plainly proves to you that you will not deal with sin there.
Right.
It's your stewardship.
Right.
I saved you by grace. What'd you do about it?
Right.
I gave you the glory. Did you ever give me the glory for giving you the glory?
That's right.
Did you come to church to sing and shout none about? Did you come to church and just say, do I have to endure this? If that spirit's in you, I don't care where you're here or not in here, God is not happy with that.
That's right.
Come in here like you. Listen, you're saved by grace. You take, listen to me. I'm just, there's so many truths. This thing's 100 cubits by 50 cubits, 20 cubits to get in. There's the altar. The altar's 5 by 5 by 3. Look at it. It's grace by the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And you know where the labor is? You know where you have to clean up at? It doesn't say one thing about cleaning up to get saved.
Right.
You do try. If you don't, you didn't want to get saved.
Yeah.
Godliness worketh repentance not to be... Godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of. That's what drove you to that 20-cubic gate.
Yeah.
As soon as you got to that gate, there's a cross. Pow! Right in your face. And here's a dead lamb for you.
Amen.
Died for you. You're done. Yeah, it's true. Done. When am I going to clean up? There's a laver in the middle. You can see it in that picture. When do I clean up? You clean up after you get saved. You start working on it. I didn't know this offended God. I didn't know what I'm doing. I didn't know anything about dressing right, Brother Joel. We didn't dress too good. I'm just telling you now. We were the cool dudes. I ain't going to start describing it. It's pretty bad how we come to church. And somebody said, it's a shame about the way you dress. It is. Woman ain't supposed to dress like a man. We're not. We didn't know nothing about that.
Yeah.
But it didn't change God's love.
Amen.
When I found out about it,
amen.
He that knoweth to do good, that's when he gets in trouble.
Right.
So you understand the cleaning comes up after you get saved.
Right.
If it didn't, we might change the sign to Methodist or Holiness or Lutheran or Catholic. Put the labor outside so you can clean up and get in.
That's right.
But unfortunately for them, you can't do it.
Amen.
You got a way you get in and get clean.
Amen. Yeah.
That's very good, ain't it?
Yeah.
I like it good.
Amen.
If it weren't that way, I wouldn't be in. I'm just telling you that, buddy.
Amen.
I hadn't done too good after God in, let alone before God in.
Amen.
And I know we're out of time. I got 3 minutes, but listen to me. That's not all of your life. The biggest part of that whole compound is that yard, that courtyard out there, and that's where just about everybody lives. And I want to tell you something. It's a pitiful life out there. I mean, it's a good life to be saved. It is a good life to be saved, but if that's all there is to it, you're going to quit church too.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot more. And it starts by that labor cleaning up. If you look at that labor, and I'm not... Listen, you're going to deal with your own business. Ever pot sets on its own bottom. How about that?
You're right.
What am I going to do with that labor? Well, I'm going to tell you, God dealt with me about some things. You want me to name them? My wife dressed wore slacks. And it wasn't men's purses either. Overalls and coveralls and zippers and stuff. But God dealt with her about that. She had to throw it in there.
Yeah.
I had a pretty nice little head of hair. My hair, I'm bald head now, but it used to go like that with Brill cream. A little bit, you know, it went in there. I'm not being mean, but that's just what went in there. I had a television, and it caused me to have lust, and I'd get so mad. I had a friend of mine that was watching Lone Ranger and Tonto one day, and he thought that Lone Ranger was going to get hit, and he shot the guy who was going to hit him. Shot his television, blowed it all up. Went all over Louisville, Kentucky, shot his stupid television, and grabbed that 22. You know all hillbillies carry a loaded gun close by. If you're not a holy hillbilly, you won't understand. City slicker's not good. Grab that gun, pow! He shot that guy in that old television room. Boom! Right in the living room. Bradley was his name, old Bradley. I can't remember his last name. Cecil. Something like that anyway. Went all over Louisville, old Bradley shot that old TV. I'm telling you, it caused me such bad feelings, I told mine in there.
Yeah.
And the whole family got mad at me for it. Started watching how I dress, and I had this hateful attitude preaching. Boy, I tell you, that was the hardest one for me to throw in there.
Yeah.
Smart Aleck.
Yeah. Help us.
I'm serious about this. Bless God.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
And saying statements that God's not honored by.
Right.
I read E. Stanley Jones, he's a Methodist, read his book on the maturing Christian. It's a good book if you read it. He said, three ways of salvation. One's by grace, one's by works, and if your conscience bothers you, we'll mix them together. But he said the only really way to be saved is by grace.
All right.
Methodist.
Yeah.
Here's what Stanley Jones said. He said we couldn't get people saved in India. We couldn't get them to come to church and do right. He said, we got to thinking about why we couldn't do that. And he said, we read the Gospels and we saw how Jesus reacted to every person. When you take the Pharisee, he cut his throat, buddy. He called him serpent.
Yes, sir.
Because a religious idiot. There's a lot of them today.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of them today. And independent Baptists, too.
Sure.
I tell you how Jesus dealt with sinners.
Yes, sir.
He said, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you.
Amen.
Told that woman with all them husbands in that live-in situation, he said, go and sin no more. Told her sins were forgiven.
Amen.
She got water. That's what he'd done to everyone. I've never healed a leper. But I tell you what I can do. I can't heal the leper, but I can care about the leper.
Right.
Yeah. Typology or otherwise.
Yeah.
E. Stanley Jones said they went to India and they're full of lepers, colonies. They have that disease. He said some of our ladies, matter of fact, a gob of them, wanted to give themselves to the nursing ministry, to minister to the lepers. And somebody said, oh, they'll catch leprosy. He said only one woman ever caught leprosy, and she's one didn't want to be there. And not another one of them ever caught leprosy. They held on those pussy running sores and cleaned them and helped them and held them in their arms and loved them like Jesus would love them.
Amen.
And only one ever got leprosy is the one didn't want to be there. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so listen to me a minute. This courtyard is where it was. I'm just 1 minute over.
Go right ahead.
In that courtyard out there is where most of... Don't take me wrong. Most of us live there.
Yeah.
But he really wants you to come to that labor and start throwing things away. Does this bother you, Lord? I was sitting right up here in a camp meeting one time, and I said, Lord, there's got to be something in my life you'd like to get out. He said, I want that radar detector. Now, I don't care whether you got one or not. And I said, Lord, I wanted one of them forever, and I just got that thing. He said, you see that little boy sitting by you? He wasn't half your age, son. He was sitting by me. He was the sweetest little boy. He was only about that tall, standing up, sitting right by me. I was his hero. He said, that little boy, get him a radar detector, and he gets about 17, 18. He'll go right through town flying with no beep on that radar and hit a curve and die just because his hero depended on a radar detector. I said, you don't have to say no more. I got right up and went out and got in a van, took radar detector, rolled up, threw it in the seat. And a few months later, I saw one and I bought it for nothing. Put it up in my car and the Holy Ghost said, you ain't supposed to have that. Throw it away. I don't know what you're going to do, but I want in. I want in there where God is.
Yes.
I want Him to say, your run is raced, race is run. Your course is finished. You've arrived where I want you to, and I'm going to call you home. I don't want to quit church, try to find a better circumstance, a better preacher, better community, better. I want to find a God, better God. I want to get closer to Him, and He'll invite you in where the candlestick is, where the showbread is,
yeah,
and where the altar of incense is. Just one more statement. I've got to quit.
Go ahead.
First time I got in, Hanley Milby was the guy that inspired me to go. I knew there was more, but I didn't know. But he's the one who told me what was more. He said, you ever pray in your preaching voice? Well, I don't. You won't hear me pray unless it's in here. You hear me pray. But it's a different prayer than it is when I'm really going to God about my life. I just tell Him everything.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't want nobody to hear what I tell God. And he wouldn't say anything to me for a while. And so then he'd bring it up again. And when I built a big Sunday school room on the side of our church, we insulated it for heat, but it was insulated for sound. And I got in that room that day, and the Holy Ghost had told me, now your soundproof is here. You can pray as loud as you want to, anybody hear you. So when I finished that, and I had the doors were ours, we locked the door. I went there and shut that door, nobody in that building. Got down on my knees, I prayed. Well, I can't tell all of it, but I started about on Monday, prayed about 2 or 3 hours on Monday. 2 or 3 hours on Tuesday, I was confessing sin. I said, I'm going to name everything that I know it's a variance with God. And then I got to places that I didn't know they were variance with God. I didn't realize. But they come up, and I said, if you name them, I'm going to call them sin. And I don't know why, but it don't matter. I just want in. Kept going about Thursday. And God came through an art, piece of art, a woman had got, had put in my office. And there was enough light shining on the door, I could see that art. And God came through that. And I didn't see him with these eyes, but I knew it was there. Come right up over me, just like it right there, just like that robe, his robe would touch me. And I prayed so hard, I thought I was going to die right there on my knees.
Yeah.
And I was holding my body because it was just like a balloon about to pop. And I apologized and I said, please forgive me, but I have to get up, Lord, and I don't want you to leave. And he didn't leave. I got up, he stayed right over me. And I lived on that prayer meeting for over 30 years, 30-some years. That one prayer meeting was so wonderful.
Oh, yes.
It was so wonderful. Another time I went out in the field, counted and looked up the stars. I was so depressed. I looked at the stars. And I said, Lord, if you don't get me out of this, I'm gonna die in this field. I never make fun of depressed people.
Right.
It's a reality.
Yes, it is.
But God is a redeemer of that reality. I looked at the stars and said, that's the same stars that Abraham. I don't even know why it came up. And I said, if you don't come and help me, I'm going to die in this field. And he came in that field. I didn't ever see him here. Didn't feel him with the senses. But he put his arm around me. Standing right here behind me. Stooped his arm around on my shoulder. I turned and looked. Didn't look with these eyes. But I knew that that was the Savior. That big old nail hole in his hand.
Yes.
And he said, I can't get people to walk down this road with me. But if I ever get them to, I never leave them. And from those days there to this day, his presence has been a reality to me.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, don't quit looking for another church, another feeling, another whatever. It's you that needs it. So make your journey. Brother Milby said, how far have you been in there? I said, I've been to the altar of incense. If you came in that building, if you come in that door, the candlestick would be there, the showbread would be there, the altar incense would be here, and then the veil would be here, and the Ark of the Covenant. Got on my knees as soon as God let me come in. Oh, the glory. I got on my knees at that altar. And you know it says, bring coals from the other altar.
Yeah.
If you don't bring the coals from the other altar, you'll be consumed like them two boys were. Strange fire. Put them coals on there and then put your prayer on there at your incense. And it comes up before the Father, or the Lord Jesus, really, who it comes up because it's mercy seat. And when I prayed to Him, I don't think you have to believe me, but it's really happened. I didn't think about that veil being rent in twain, but it started moving. And light came flaring out of there in my all over me. And I don't know how long I prayed. But I'm going to tell you something. He didn't just pick me out to do that for me. He'd do that for you, young lady.
That's right.
And he'd do it for you or anybody in here. If you'll just get real with God.
Yeah.
I told him this. I said, I will not leave you alone until you do what I'm asking. I will not leave you alone about it. And he knew I meant it. Because
yeah.
He gave me the desires of my heart.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I've taken too long, Brother Joel.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to close this. You got your paper. Keep it with you. How many of you would believe me enough to say, you know, Brother Wayne, I'm gonna go back to the drawing board. I'm gonna go back to something. I'm gonna find out about this. I'm gonna start my journey to God wherever I'm at. I'm gonna find myself, and I'm gonna find my way to God. I'm gonna learn this. I'm gonna find out about God for myself. Is there anybody in here who would do that? Will you raise a hand and say, that's what I'm gonna do? Anybody?
Yes.
Say, I'm gonna do it, preacher.
Yes.
I'm not talking about you're gonna get saved. I'm talking about there's a lady. Anybody else? I'm gonna do it, preacher. It doesn't matter. Listen, if you've been saved years and years and years, a lot of times you just don't know.
Right.
We lost all of our old timers that knew anything about it.
Right.
Somebody should have told us about it. Why did I have to wait till I was way up in the ministry before a Hanley Milby came along and said, There it is. Preacher, I'm going to go this journey. I'm going to go. Several of you raised your hand. I want you to do that. If you're afraid to raise your hand, I'm not going to make fun of you or hurt your feelings. I'm telling you, I want you to have what God gave me. Everybody can. And you don't have to. It don't matter where you've been married a dozen times. If you're right with God, you just right with God.
Right.
Best you can do.
Right.
You can't bring the water back. Can't undo what's been done.
Right.
But you can start where you are.
Yeah.
God will let you start.
Yeah, right.
You know what he said in Joel? He said, I'll restore to you the years that the canker worm has eaten up.
Uh-huh.
And I had a lady save my church. I'm sorry about going long. She's old. She got saved. Sat over here. Sat on the second row. Her and her best friend. She got saved. She's in her 50s. I tell you that when that old gal left this world, buddy, she knew about the glory. She'd come in church. She'd cut sitting right over in here. She'd throw him hands up and lay her head back and just start making love to Jesus. And I'm telling you, buddy, it'd tire the whole outfit up.
Yeah.
She didn't live in about 8 or 9 years after she got saved. So how soon can you make this trip? You can make it in a shorter time than that if God wants you to. You can get right on in there. Amen.
Yeah.
I took too long.
Appreciate you, brother.